Well, a huge amount of food ends up in school trash cans around the country every day. What can be done about it? Well, freelance journalist Layla Nargi explored the issue, and she joins us now by phone to talk to us about it. Welcome, Layla.
Hi, Julie. Thanks so much. Nice to be with you this evening.
Well, we're so glad that you could join us. But what a cool job. Before we discuss school food waste, what does that mean to be a freelance journalist?
It means that I have ideas for stories, and I try to convince outlets to let me write them for them.
Nice, nice. And you stay pretty busy with that, I bet.
If I'm lucky, yes.
Wonderful. Well, let's talk about what we were going to talk about on to food waste at schools. Now, I remember when I was a kid and I would dump my uneaten food into the trash can. That was many, many years ago. What did you find out when you were writing this story?
I found out that, like with so many of these things that I write about and talk about when I write about food insecurity and agriculture and food policy, just sort of generally, that there's a whole system behind this, right? Like, you used to throw your uneaten sandwich or pasta or the brown green beans that were so famous in school cafeterias once upon a time in the trash. But we know a lot more about sort of the front end and the back end of the situation now, right? It's not just, oh, kids don't want to eat this, they don't like it, they're throwing it away. We now know that a lot of resources, energy, water, transportation, farmers growing things, we're wasting a lot of resources if a kid is throwing out, say, half a hamburger. And all food that goes to the dump, that goes to a landfill, also is responsible for greenhouse gases. So it's like this kind of big, horrible loop that's not really just about the kid throwing something in the trash, but what's happening to the environment. Something else that I thought was really interesting, and I write about childhood food insecurity a lot, and I was surprised that this hadn't occurred to me, but several of the sources that I spoke to pointed out, when you have schools and school cafeterias and nutrition directors who are working in public schools across the country on these really tight budgets, they don't have a ton of money to spend on food. When they have so little and have to really watch their margins, when kids are wasting food, that's money that could be spent on not just food for kids, but nutritious food for kids, some of whom are food insecure, that could be going into, you know, supporting local farmers and bringing good stuff in. So the more money that can be saved from keeping kids from wasting food, the more good food you can actually serve them.
Well, I'm glad you talked about the money. How much money is this that we are wasting throughout the country?
The estimates are really rough right now because we're still here in the U.S. at the beginning of trying to quantify how much food kids are wasting. There are some studies that have made some estimates based on really small numbers of schools, but the estimate, the really rough estimate, is that 1-2% of all food waste in the U.S. is coming from K-12 schools, and this can be as much as 26% of a school's food budget. For a total possibly of $1.2 billion a year wasted just in K-12 schools in the U.S.
That's $1.2 billion with a B, right?
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. But, you know, now the problem isn't only with wasted food. It's about the kids as well and the habits that they're setting up for the rest of their lives. Tell us about that.
Well, that's right. And as so many of my sources who really do work with these kids on a day-to-day basis pointed out, kids are really actively engaged in this topic, especially when there are kids who are conducting food waste, plate waste audits, they're called, where, you know, during a lunch period, the kids will separate all of the things that are being thrown away into different buckets, one for milk, one for sandwiches, one for, you know, whatever it is, conducting these audits and seeing what's going in the trash. Kids really, across across, you know, the age spectrum can really see this and understand what's happening and feel really compelled to make some changes, not just in school, but they understand how that translates to home and are bringing these sorts of this understanding with them wherever they go. And as a parent myself, I know from my daughter, if I should forget something like a reusable shopping bag when I go to the market and have to take one, she never lets me hear the end of it. That was a lesson she learned really early on, and it stayed with her. And it's the same. She was just scolding me the other day for wasting too much cheese when I cut the rind off. So these ideas that kids learn early on, and especially when they can see them, they stick with them, and they take them with them wherever they go. It becomes something that's important to them.
So getting those kids involved in learning about how much is being wasted really can set us up for a future that looks bright.
Absolutely.
Sure. Can you describe a couple of the programs that are being implemented by schools to help reduce the waste?
It really varies, and it depends on so many factors, which is not the answer anybody ever wants to hear. But, you know, there are certain things that happen around, say, milk. Milk is something that there's a lot of waste of, and there is a lot of thinking about why that might be true. One is, in some places, kids are told they have to take a milk, whether they want to drink it or not. And so they open it, and maybe they don't want it because it's warm, or maybe they're rushing to get outside because they want to play for recess. And they can't see how much milk is left in their carton, even if they want to drink it. And because they're rushing, somehow, according to my sources, when they can't see what's in the carton, they're not inclined to finish it. It almost is like it doesn't exist there, or they don't care about it. So some schools are doing things like giving kids a glass, an 8-ounce glass, and getting bulk milk instead of the cartons, and saying, you can serve yourself. Here's an 8-ounce cup. Serve yourself as much as you want from the bulk milk. And they actually find that when the kids can see what's in the glass, they'll drink it. If they're serving themselves, they're inclined to take only what they want to finish. So that's one way of dealing with, you know, specifically milk waste. Another way is another really big idea sort of across the board in K-12 food waste reduction programs is something called a share table. And if kids take something that they don't want to eat that's untouched or unopened, like a carton of milk or a piece of fruit or a wrapped sandwich, they can put it on the share table. And the schools have different ways of dealing with what's on the share table. Some of them reserve it the next day. Some of them serve the stuff as snack. Kids can come up and help themselves if they want an extra piece of fruit or an extra milk during lunch. One of the programs, somebody I was speaking to was saying that, you know, a lot of kids go home hungry, and maybe you're going home to an empty refrigerator. And so maybe they'll do something like get a cooler for the school bus and put milks and leftover food in those coolers, or even backpack the food home with the kids for the weekend. So there are a lot of ways that schools are looking at how to redistribute food in ways that make sense for their own communities.
Sure. I know in our community here, we're a rural area, and some of these kids have long bus rides after school to get home. They probably would really appreciate having a snack left over from lunch.
Right, no doubt. Mm-hmm. No doubt, right. Yes, so lots of ideas coming out of this space. And what's interesting is that there are a lot of schools starting to come on board now. And a lot of organizations, governmental and otherwise, helping them to do that. What's interesting is to see how they take the information that's out there, although they do sometimes have a hard time finding it, even though the USDA has tried really hard to make the information easily accessible, readily available, and is really pushing, you know, their sort of their pamphlets to help schools understand ways to minimize food waste. But a lot of these schools have come to decisions about how to deal with it on their own. And some of it has to do with a very specific school community. Some of it has to do with what composting facilities are available in their areas, you know, when they want to not just put stuff in the trash, but want to, you know, dispose of it in a more beneficial way. There are all these sorts of partnerships that are being built up, small and large, to tackle this.
Well, there's definitely some solutions out there that have gone untapped for a while. Getting back to the problem of it, though, what about health regulations? Are there, I know that there's rules about what can and cannot be served at lunch. Is that, might be probably a state health regulation with what has to be served. And I know when I was in school, we didn't have choices. We got what we were served, and we had to have so much of this and so much of that. And even if we didn't like it, it was put on our tray. Is there any movement toward what kids like to eat?
Well, for sure. And that's a really complicated question. And yes, the state regulations, the state health department regulations, you know, on a school by school and district by district basis override some of the USDA permissiveness in terms of things. The USDA National School Lunch Program, that, you know, they have two different options. One is, yes, you're served. Another one is you have sort of you take three out of five options. You know, there's some flexibility with the way the USDA National School Lunch Program stuff works. And state regulations might say, oh, no, you can't have a share table. That's against our health department regulations. So the USDA and the FDA encourage schools and PTAs to try to work with their state, their state departments, health departments, to try to work that out and to make that be sort of not something that's tying people up. But in terms of healthy food, yeah, you know, there's a lot of thinking around how to change certain things. One of my sources said to me, you know, the big thing that we have to remember is that kids only want to eat things that they like. And a lot of school nutrition directors have taken that to mean, okay, well, we should only serve hot dogs and, you know, macaroni and cheese, like this classic kid food. But a lot of schools have found that when they've gone back to things like scratch cooking, mm-hmm. and done education around scratch cooking, like had the kids actually go into the cafeteria and see the chefs making food, or bringing food from a school garden in and feeling personally invested what they've grown and can cook themselves and try out, that they're more willing to try new things, and they're going to feel a personal responsibility for something that they've raised from a seed and plucked from the ground. So there is also this education component. And there is some interesting data coming in that suggests that kids who are invested in growing their food, in learning about it, who have the chance to go and work with their hands with chefs or to talk about it and maybe to learn some of the history of it, are more interested in trying it out.
Leila Nargi is joining us to talk about waste, food waste in the schools. You're listening to WTIP's Roadhouse. Thank you so much for joining us. I think that you just touched on the ownership part with the kids. And, you know, that doesn't just stop at the school then. Like you said, with the shopping bags, these kids bring that home and say, hey, you know, to their parents, to their family members, let's do something else. Because in your article, you said that individual consumers are the biggest culprits of waste.
That's right. And, you know, I've tried this project at home, too, to see what I've brought home and what we get rid of. You know, we've done our own sort of tally. And it takes a real, it takes a lot of thinking and doing and concerted effort to unlearn as an adult these habits that we've developed over time and not really thought much about. And, yeah, kids, you know, as I said, I think there's not a parent out there who hasn't been scolded and felt rightly scolded by their kid for something like that. kids bring home this new knowledge. They're more of a clean slate than we are. They don't have to unlearn as much. And so they teach us as well.
That's right. You know, little things like composting and separating trash from recycling, the kids can teach us a lesson or two. I'm sure that there will be a follow-up story on this. Do you have any plans for that?
Not at the moment, but I'm very interested. It's like anything I write about and learn about as I go. Now it's part of my consciousness, and I do want to learn more. And now, you know, I'm interested to know, like, we know that individual consumers are the biggest wasters of food, and that K through 12 is way down on that list, 1 or 2%. So what's in the middle between our top offenders and like way down here with the K through 12? What's in the middle? So there might be something that I start exploring there.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds great. And you are a freelance journalist. What are you working on now, can I ask?
Let's see. Right now I am working on something completely unrelated to food and food waste. I'm working on something called afforestation. Still a sustainability issue and a climate solution. Afforestation is planting trees where no trees have existed before as a way to remove carbon from the air and store it in the ground. So I'm about to get to work on that.
Oh, that's great. That sounds very interesting. We've been speaking with Layla Nargi, and she is a freelance journalist. We've been talking about food policy, environment, sustainability, and the waste in the school trash cans around the country every day. Layla, thank you for joining us. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Once you see it, you can't unsee it. So I'd encourage anybody who's interested in food waste to start looking at their own habits, and I challenge anyone to not be able to find places they can do a better job in cutting down on food waste.
Great advice. Thank you so much, journalist Layla Nargi from Brooklyn. Have a great
Thanks
evening.
Thanks so much, Julie. Mm-hmm. You too.